Okay, I'd like to call the regular meeting of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, to order as, let's see, what do we got? 7:01, Thursday, March 14, 2024. Will you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States and to the Republic which stands one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Roll call, please.
Arthur Newbert.
Here.
Amy Pettinigian.
Here.
Sarah Bedomsky.
Here.
Jessica Berrios Perez.
Here.
George F. Curtis.
Present.
Donald M. Still.
Here.
David Chevarella.
Here.
Robin Falcione Smith.
Here.
Robert Heider.
Here.
Records will reflect there are 9 members present.
Thank you, sir. Additions, deletions, corrections, adoption of the agenda.
Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Propose a new 6.4. Waiver of section 13 of the city charter. Move to waive section 13 of the city charter to allow the following to act as poll workers for the April 2nd, 2024 presidential preference primary and for the November 5th, 2024 general election. 1, Mark J. Garfalo, town clerk. 2, Ashley Simon, board of apportionment and taxation. And 3, Sarah Wadomski, board of aldermen. Alderwomen. I have no deletions, and then one correction is to move the current 6.4 Mayor Joseph DiMartino municipal update to 6.5. And that is it.
You have a second on the correction on the additions and corrections? Second, Amy. Oh, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Number 5, public forum. Anybody from the public like to speak?
Director following counselor. I just want to ask the board just to pause for a moment of silence on this day, March 14th, 1995. City of Austin, a very low key and dedicated public servant for many years at a very young age. Lawrence J. Twilio Jr., he was a director of community development. It was 29 years today that he passed at the age of 43. So just ask you to note that for the record, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Go ahead. We'll get everybody in.
Christopher.
There you go.
Hi, good evening, everybody. I know most of you. My name is Felicia Monaco. I live at 17 Monaco Circle in Derby. Been a lifelong Derby resident, mainly in the area of Gilbert Street, High Street, Monaco Circle. I own a house in close proximity to 1725 Crescent Street, and that's why I entered Derby. I've been making complaints about that property for years to the city officials, including this Board of Aldermen. As far as the property not being maintained, and it's been neglected for years. I actually spent some time looking back at years of minutes for the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, and this property has been on the white list dozens of times. It goes on, it goes off. At one point, the tenants had to be relocated because of safety concerns, and the city actually had to step in and do some work with that at that point. The building's been vacant for years. On October 13th, 2022, the previous Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, voted unanimously under agenda item 9.17, which I have copies if anyone needs them, to foreclose this property and start a clean and lean. Over a week ago, I drove by the property because I live right by it, and I saw work being done. I was very confused. I don't understand what happened to the foreclosure, and I don't understand why the property is being worked on. It seems like a dereliction of duty by the prior administration if that foreclosure was not done. It was voted on, it was passed. I'm really not sure what happened. The current owner is not maintaining their property for years. Absentee landlords don't maintain their properties. The property should be condemned. The area is very congested. Parking is limited. What is needed is space, a park, parking, something that the city can maintain, but anything but more apartments in that area. It really won't be cured for it past president. And history is anything within. I thank you all for your consideration and take this into my concerns heavily because I'm one of the few people that actually own a house on that street. It's primarily multi-units, and I really think about that. It really needs to be taken down. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Felicia. It is on the agenda tonight in executive session, and it is on our radar. We're on. Okay. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Mr. Martino, please state your name and address for the record.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Phil Martino, 24 Prairie Avenue, lifelong resident, Mr. Mayor, everyone else. I want to reflect first just a little history before I get into my what I had in mind. I believe it was 1950. There was no organized Little League baseball in this town. It was a group of fellas, Ed Strang, the Oval Brothers, Chick Magic, John Prestash, and my dad, Ralph Martino, actually formed the first ever Little League. And actually, I guess my father, with some help, went a little farther. I believe they built the outfield fence, the field house, the dugouts. They did everything for zero. I think it was called the love of the game. But anyway, I don't know, I was thinking about my dad today, so I got to tell you guys this. First thing, I don't think this is a city thing, but with Vietnam era vet and got out of the service in 66, and I did receive an exemption that year from the city. I just did the math. It's 58 years. So they tell me you have to go through the state for any veterans exemption or anything. So I think it's maybe 6 or 7 months now. I tried to get a hold of our state rep, my taste of Mary Willander. And then I got one call back from one of her staff. I did return the call, and that was it. Never heard more on that one, so I don't know if you guys have any input on that end. The other thing that was really concerning me lately is the taxes. And I think my wife and I love what they're doing here. This was it the toll bridge? It's beautiful. We look and we keep
wow.
going through the town every day. We love it. It just looks great. I think it's... I think it's exciting and it looks great. I think it's going to be, the beginning. The other thing is, as far as the taxes, don't get me wrong. I think everyone, God bless the police. You know, I was in the MPs myself during the service. I was in military police, but public works, infrastructure, everything. The only thing that kind of really gets to me during past several years is the education budget. My daughter, Mr. Mayor knows, and his wife knows my daughter. She's in Florida now, 20, 25 years, long gone. We paid our due in taxes during her growing up years. But now, I'm in my early 80s and I'm saying, geez, you get a young couple that's got kids in school. And that education budget really should be, I think I'm speaking for the seniors, not just for myself, but I think we should get a break. The years that we have left would sure be nice to get a little break on that end and say, whether it's an exemption or some type of stipulation in there to help us seniors get through it too, on fixed incomes. Like I say, as far as police and public works and infrastructure, that's wonderful. I think this is great. I think the best thing that's happened in about 50 years, 60 years. I guess it's every 70, 80 years we're going to, have a
renaissance.
I'll take over, but it's great that's happening now. Well, that's all I had to say. I just said, basically, I love this town. They're going to bury me here. Florida's too hot to get taken. And, I guess the common thing is saying, well, you could say what you want, but in the end, they're going to do what they want to do. I hope you prove them wrong this time. Help us seniors out a little bit. Surprise us with this next tax bill.
Oh, you're going to be surprised.
Surprises in a good way.
Thank you. Anybody else who would like to speak? Catherine, come on up.
Yeah, and if there's nobody in the room, this is Karen Kemisies, 25 John Street.
Karen, could you hold on 1 second, please? I will get you on next.
Oh, sure, fine.
Thank you so much. You're good. Oh, there you go.
My name is Catherine Christopher. I am the Human Resources Director for the City of Derby. Oh, my address.
You can put it for the record.
All right. 40 Brickyard Road. I live in Clinton, Connecticut. I want to take a few minutes to speak to the board regarding the position of the Human Resources Director and the question on the agenda regarding funding the position. I see that the Finance and Public Safety Committee has put forth a recommendation, and I'd like to comment on what comes with an HR director with over 30 years experience and the education and background that I bring to Derby. The Human Resources Director is usually the first person an applicant sees and speaks with when they apply for a job. The person a new hire will interact with when filling out forms for benefits, taxes, and all of the required employment forms. The HR Director is also the person that an employee will go to when they have a concern or question about their benefits, a concern about their job. And the city's policies and rules are simply a comment or complaint they need to air out. In relation to finance, the HR department plays an important role in ensuring the costs for benefits and salaries are in line with the budget and also in line with the union contracts. In relation to safety, the HR department is very involved in safety, workers' compensation, health insurance, and all of the benefits offered by the city to its employees. Additionally, there is a part of this position that interacts and manages benefits for the Board of Education employees that might not be known to some people, but they often call me for advice and information on how do we do this or how are we going to send this information over to you so that you can handle it. Coming into a municipality that has never had an HR professional or department means sorting out a few hundred years of records, bringing files up to date, and creating files and processes that were never, where there never were any. And getting to know the city's benefits and contracts has also meant a lot of cleanup work that no one had ever done for a long time. Since I've been here, I've removed people from the insurance that are no longer eligible, were in the wrong policies, or believe it or not, we had a lot of people that were still sitting on the insurance that were deceased. That work alone has saved the city over $80,000 that I was able to call out and get credit to us for. We're paying fees that no one was keeping an eye on because there was no one to keep track of it. We were insuring ineligible people. That again was something that an HR person would do. There's so much more that I do. When the phone rings, I answer it. When people walk in, I stop what I'm doing and I see them. When another department needs help, I am there for them so that my day does not end at the end of a day. As the town clerk could probably tell you, he's the last person to leave. I'm the second to last person to leave. I'm afraid if the city chooses to search for a person based on a lower salary, they will end up without the years of experience and education that this position requires, and that would be a shame. You got me here, and this is where I want to be. I like it. I like who I work with. We're coming along. After the committee meeting last month, I provided the human resources job description, which is just a part of what I do. There's always more. The human element cannot be filed away or put on hold or kept quiet. Employees need and deserve to have a good qualified professional in HR. And management deserves that support as well.
I go above and beyond every week. My day doesn't end when the clock says so. No call gets ignored and no employee gets turned away. I do believe that Derby is heading in the right direction, and I hate to see the employees and management at a disadvantage because there was no support system coming from a strong HR department. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Karen, are you there? Karen?
Just ask
anybody else. Yep, can you hear me now?
Yep, hi Karen, how are you?
I'm doing well. First, I was grateful of Mark bringing up about Mr. DiTullio. I didn't realize it has been that long. I do recall him very well, and he was very, very helpful in doing many positive things for the city of Derby. So I'm glad that he's being remembered. In that light, I know we haven't quite gotten ahead of getting the committee reports out, all of the department reports, and I'm hopeful that you're moving forward on those so we can see the positive effects of new building permits, new electrical permits, and such. Maybe we can get reports from economic development so we can see what he's doing. And any other reports, they don't have to attend the meetings per se, maybe you just include their reports in the packets, but it'll be wonderful to be seeing all the positive things that I'm sure are happening in Derby now that we're moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen, I appreciate it. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Please come up, sir. Thank you.
Excuse me. I read the article about.
You need me to have your surgery.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Frederick Dabrowski, 216 Derby Avenue. I read the article about the audit, and I think that the audit needs to go through. I also read the fact that former Mayor Zekin is kind of protesting the thing. You know, we're not looking for a witch hunt, but we're missing $3 million. And if we have to make that up, or if we go under the state's directive, it's going to be a huge tax increase. And I don't envy the position you're in. But the fact that the tax systems or the accounting systems or whatever systems were switched, and we had a lot going with we should look to see if anybody tried to get rid of any back balances or anything that was owed to the city. Once again, the data was not transferred over. They made sure of that. And I am sure that a good audit on the previous system and what made it to the next system might dig up some skeletons, and justice should be served to anybody who willfully, intentionally tried to cheat the city of Derby for the taxes they owe. If they have a problem with the taxes, I'm here. Talk to you people. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public like to speak?
Mr. Mayor, Tom Harbinson on the Zoom meeting. I'd like to speak during the public portion.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
My name is Tom Harbinson, 15 Soundcrest Drive, Shelton, Connecticut. Also happen to be the owner of IDA Properties, 200 Roosevelt Drive there. Near the fuel cell. My question is regarding the upcoming 350th anniversary for the city of Derby. Representatives from Fuel Cell had reached out to me wanting to know if there's any way they could contribute or assist with the celebration of that anniversary for the city. I haven't seen anything on the agenda as it's coming up. I was wondering if there is a person I should reach out to, or a committee or a commission.
So right now the commission will be put together probably within the next week or two. We're working on that now. You could contact Linda Fusco, my chief of staff, during the week, and we can give you some information.
Very well. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public like to speak? Third and final time, anybody else in the public like to speak? Hearing none, public portion is now closed. Number six, administrative appointments. Approval of minutes, 6.1.1, February 8th, 2024, regular meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Made by Ron. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by George. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 6.1.2, February 22nd, 2024, special meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Made by George. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Amy. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion.
Yes, sir. One abstention. Motion carries. 6.2, refund of taxes. 6.2.1, move to approve tax refunds in the amount of $3,764.21, dated March 12th, 2024. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Sarah.
Made by Sarah. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Robin. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 6.3, appointments to boards and commissions. 6.3.1, field house and baseball field committee, effective immediately and expiring on December 6, 2025. From the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, David Chevarella, and from the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, Amy Pennici. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Made by George. Is there a second?
Second, Sarah.
Second, Sarah. Any discussion?
I'd just like to say that you do great work on this committee. I was on the original committee, Mrs. Payton and everything. So keep up the good work that we've done over the past years. We have two excellent people that represent us.
Thank you,
George. Thank you. Do we vote?
No, not yet.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 6.3.2, Elderly Commission, effective immediately and expiring on January 31st, 2026. Janet Mezowitz, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Made by Ron. Is there a second? Second, Rob. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 6.3.3, Water Pollution Control Authority, effective immediately and expiring on October 31st, 2026. Charlie Sampson. What? Motion made by Rob. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Amy. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. 6.4, waiver of Section 13 of the City Charter. Move to waive Section 13 of the City Charter to allow the following to act as poll workers for the April 2nd, 2024 presidential preference primary and for the November 5th, 2024 general election. Mark J. Garfalo, Town Clerk, Ashley Simon, Board of Apportionment and Taxation, and Sarah Wadomski, Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Who made that?
Amy.
I'm sorry. Second?
Second.
Second, George. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Abstain.
Okay. One abstention. 6.5, municipal update by the mayor. Kind of lengthy, so I wrote it out, so I'll try to be as quick as I can, but we'll go through some things. Fuel cell income. As part of our effort to straighten out the deficiencies in the finance department, we followed up with the builders of the fuel cell on Coon Hollow Road adjacent to the Derby Public Works Complex to secure a $250,000 owed to the city of Derby pursuant to the approved agreement. This income is much needed to help to balance the deficit from both last year's budget and current year. So I was very pleased that we were able to secure that money. And that was wired by, right? So we do have that. So that was a big help. $1 million federal grant. As part of due diligence in organizing our new administration a little over 100 days ago, we reached out to our federal delegation, Senator Blumenthal, Senator Murphy, and Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro, to let them know that our new leadership team would be seeking a close working relationship to help the city of Derby. We received great guidance and support from all three offices. In working closely with Congresswoman DeLauro's team, they informed us of a grant application by the City of Derby for the south side of Main Street. We worked with them to urge support for the City of Derby on this vital project. We are pleased that our efforts in building a partnership with the federal representatives has demonstrated a new sense of credibility on behalf of the city that resulted in Derby getting $1 million grant to help move the south side of Main Street development forward. We were lucky that Congresswoman DeLauro's team made us aware of this initiative so that we could properly pursue it, as we were not told by the representatives of the previous administration in a one transition meeting that they offered. So again, that was a great pickup for the City of Derby to help us move downtown forward. So we thank Rosa DeLauro for that. Forensic audit clarification. I want to clarify any confusion regarding the forensic audit. When I took office on December 2nd, 2024, 104 days ago, I knew we were facing a difficult financial situation. Within 2 weeks, with the help of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, I hired a qualified interim finance director. Based on our observations of current conditions, we could never have guessed how much a financial mess we were really in, based on the negligence and misinformation of the past 6 years. We are proceeding methodically to find the underlying cause of the fiscal crisis with which we were left. We are prioritizing our work by identifying the many problems that exist. We are working closely with the Municipal Finance Advisory Commission to fix the financial problems that were created out of the mismanagement, including hasty and incompetent implementation of improperly procured financial software. We will ensure that our annual audit of 2022-23 is completed. Even though we are again late in filing it due to the lack of oversight and misaligned priorities. Then we will adopt the 2024-25 budget with open eyes instead of with misleading information given to the tax board in recent years. After the budget is adopted, we will compile our concerns and those from MFAC and other financial professionals and initiate a forensic audit to find the underlying cause of financial mismanagement and gross abuses that have taken place over the past few years. And when we get those answers, we will share with the taxpayers of Derby. I want to keep you updated as to the process that we will be following and apologize for any confusion about the order of events. So there will be a forensic audit. We will get that done. Transfer, recycling, and transportation operation bid update. We received 4 bids from qualified submission by the deadline of March 8th, 2024. We are evaluating the bids and expect to make a recommendation to the board at the April 11th, 2024 meeting. So hopefully we'll get that mess straightened out and get back to a little normalcy on that. New tax collector to start duties on Monday, March 25th, 2024. I'm happy to inform you, after a competitive process and after a 3-year vacancy, I have appointed a new tax collector. Anna Legassi, who is currently the tax collector in Plainville, will begin her duties on Monday, March 25th, 2024. She comes to Derby as a certified tax collector with more than a decade of experience as a tax collector, both in her hometown of Plymouth and in Plainville. We are excited for her to start and begin collecting the more than $1.3 million and back taxes that are outstanding due to a long-time vacancy. So we did 2 interviews, and she was the top candidate, and that's who we picked. So I look forward to her starting on March 25th. It has been a long 104 days, but we are making steady progress toward digging ourselves out of the mess with which we were left. I will keep you posted each month so that you will be aware of steps toward recovery. I want to thank the volunteer board of aldermen, alderwomen, and the tax board members for their bipartisan cooperation and support. Together, we will make the necessary improvement. That's my update. I know it was going long this month, but I wanted to get all the information out to you guys. Any questions on any of it?
Great job, Mayor.
Thank you.
Great job.
We're working really hard. We're every day working hard. So doing the best we can. Linda Fusco has been a great addition. Linda Fusco helping me out tremendously. Oh, that's not nice, Ron. All right. Committee reports or recommendations. Community Relations Committee. Ron, you want to take this?
7.1.1, 201 Hawkins Street, proposed agreement settlement of blight liens and clean and lean liens, resolution 24-3. Move to adopt recommendation of the committee in resolution 24-3 to approve the settlement of blight liens and clean and lean liens at 201 Hawkins Street as reviewed and approved by Corporation Counsel, and to authorize Mayor Joseph DiMartino to execute said settlement on behalf of the city of Derby.
Make that a formal motion, Ron?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second,
George. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 7.2, Property and Development Committee. Amy, I believe that's you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor? There you go.
Thank you. Lease with the state of Connecticut for the Derby train station, resolution 2024-2. Move to adopt resolution, 2024-3 regarding Derby train station and abutting land to terminate existing expired lease and to request new lease agreement after renovations are completed.
Make that a formal motion.
I do.
Is there a second?
Second,
George. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 7.2, you're up again.
7.2.2, Electric Power Sustainable Community Network. Discussion and possible action on agreement between the City of Derby and Electric Power.
Jeff Kirk is with us again tonight.
Welcome back. Yes, I am. Hello. Good to see you all again, Mayor, Board. So I wanted to start because one thing we've never done is show you the video. This is some consumer testimonies that have been collected from Electric Power.
Hotel and other because we're in long-term housing, one of the smaller companies for growth, and the most reliance on fossil fuels. This program is to be more economically feasible for us, and we really like the fact that there's the back for these storage challenges. Here in San Bernardino, we're really at risk if there's a fire. And so it's really important not just to have a solar system, but to have some type of a battery backup. Our member solar system, they would incredibly easy to work with. Workers that came were professional, they were prepared, they were prompt. They had the home permitted, they had the battery system set up. That is fantastic. It really has been a great program.
I mean, that would be definitely a huge amount of income, is it a disaster or blackouts or connections to the grid that you separate?
So that's a customer testimony, but we also have a municipal testimony too.
Should have been one more. That was the one about the cities that testified.
Well, I don't know if you give it to me 2 minutes before the meeting.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
There's a link.
Yeah, I know. Good.
I guarantee for the record, you don't want me to go into the whole discussion about this whole technology and this stuff. So,
no problem. But we did send it to everybody, I believe. We did send it to everybody. I hope
everybody wasn't on that email. So I didn't get it until just like 10 minutes before the meeting. I don't know what that list was, not the whole list. I think it was just staff. I sent the other stuff that was sent to me. There's two handouts that were previously in your thing, and then another analysis that was put in that was sent yesterday.
So that's fine. Anyway, we did have a couple of towns that had testified about the effectiveness of the Power Up Network, both in Santa Barbara, Goleta, and also in San Luis Obispo, which covers about 2 million homes in the California area. So I did want to bring that to your attention. But the other thing that I wanted to say as well is I do believe an article was sent to everybody. Did everybody get this article? The United Illuminating article? So the rate increase of approximately 12% that's supposed to be happening in May. Did you all get that? So apparently, United Illuminating is looking for another 12% increase that's going to be effectively happening in May. Our purchase power agreement that we have negotiated with you as it stands is at 24 cents, which is already a 20% reduction from the 31 cents that you're currently at. And if it goes up another 12%, you're going to be looking at almost a 30% reduction, because we won't change that. We'll keep that 24 cents, meaning that you're going to be saving roughly 30% with the program when you sign up. So with those two things in mind, the approximate saving per household can be close to $1,200 a year. Now, I've heard several people saying that they would love to have more money. $1,200 a year is a little bit more money to have in their pocket. That's one benefit. And then the town, just in the 15-year period that Roger had in the model, this was approximately another, all close to $1 million that the town would save in the 25 years is a another benefit to the program. So the town gets roughly $1 million over 25 years. The homeowner saves roughly $1,200 a year, and everybody gets green power and storage for free. This is a completely no-cost program to the homeowner. And with that, I'll take any questions you might have.
The analysis that was done by Roger is in the supplement, because we just got that today. That's in the supplement. That's in the
Any questions for Mr. Kirby? Mr. Burks, thank you for all the stuff you gave us at the last meeting. I was going through that now. So I believe that you were talking about, our name on your flyer and all sort of stuff. So you're saying that we would get back 5%, right? And that's kind of not high enough for me there. If you're going to use our name and likeness to go out and push this product. I don't know what the right amount is, but if my opinion, this is only my opinion, there's other board members here, that the 5% isn't enough.
What would you think would be enough?
I don't know. What other towns get?
5%.
That's it?
That's what the program is designed for, yeah.
By your company?
Yeah.
So other companies, I didn't research this.
No other company does this kind of program.
You're the only one in the United States?
The only one in the whole country that does this program.
Okay, I'll take your word on that. So I don't know what a good amount is. So if you use our name and likeness, it's got to be more than 5%. I don't know what the committee, I'm not on that committee, so I don't know what the recommendation is, but to me, 5% has got to go up. I don't know, 10, 15. I don't know what the right number is, but like I said, I'm not on that committee. So whatever the committee recommends, but that's my 2 cents.
I don't believe there was a recommendation from the committee. We just brought it to the full board. Any other questions, Mr. Kirks?
I do have a question. How is this different from the other company that come knock on my door and want me to buy their solar panels?
Right. So one of the things that we pride ourselves on is we're not
one of those other companies that are knocking on your door. We actually have a whole infrastructure backing us with a large company. We're also a manufacturer of the batteries. We also are the procurement arm of the panels. We do all the development. We do all the engineering. Everything is in-house for the program. And as you saw from the presentation that we just showed with the customers, they're all, it's been pretty much seamless with the implementation of the program. We also offer, and most of the companies in this area don't, a battery, which is key for any kind of grid services or any kind of disruption of service, or anytime that there's a power outage, you're able to still turn on your system and generate power.
Sorry, I'm maybe ignorant to understand this stuff. Yeah. No problem. So you're charging 24 cents per kilowatt hour. If I was to go solar panels from somebody else, and I have an enormous size roof, can I generate enough electricity to pay all my electric bill, not have to pay any kilowatt hours?
Yeah.
Some people get, I have a brother-in-law who had that, he gets a credit on his bill every month.
Because he bought the system. We're putting approximately $55,000 worth of equipment into the person's home for free. Your brother-in-law bought his system and is able to get the incentives directly because he owns his solar panels outright. Our system, we're providing everything for free. And then we're giving the homeowner a 20% reduction on the utility bill that they were currently having. That 20% is going to turn to 30% when United Illuminating passes that 12.5% rate increase.
Thank you.
Sure.
I don't have a question. I just have, a comment or a concern, really, and that's, just the city of Derby having a partnership with any company, whether it be electric power, restaurants, contractors. My concern would be, do we really even want to go down this route of a partnership with a company that we're putting our city seal and name on, and having our full list of citizens and phone numbers and addresses and pushing stuff, having our name attached to just any company, whatever that may be, not necessarily you. And I appreciate your presentation. It's just a concern overall I would have. We have businesses that are generations old in our city that we don't partner with and put our city seal on. So that is my concern with this. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
I'm sorry, the question that I have is, what happens if your company is no longer in existence, if it does go bankrupt, turn this up?
So, like in California, we personally don't own the assets. We provide the installation. We do all the work. We do the maintenance. We do all the equipment. But a financer actually owns the assets. And the financer that we have in California is a $300 million fund facility that we have with a multi-billion dollar company. And they're the ones that are interested in looking at the financing for Derby. So they would be the ones that are on the hook for any kind of default of the contract or anything of that nature. If we went out of business, they would by law have to support the contract that you have with them directly.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Amy?
I just wanted to add, just to Sarah's point, we are a new leadership, this is really our rebirth and a chance to, look at opportunities to move forward with, certain things, going forward. And so I just wanted to state that as we take the next steps here. Does anyone have any other questions?
What's the pleasure of the board? Any action?
I would like to make a motion to not move forward with the proposal shared with the City of Derby between the city and Electric Park.
Motion made by Annie. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Jessica. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Finance and Public Safety Committee, 7.3, Sarah.
7.3.1, Human Resources Director Salary. Move to adopt recommendation of the committee to set the full-time annual salary of the position of Human Resources Director for the City of Derby at $70,000 per year.
Is that a form of motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second,
Robin. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 7.3.2,
South Central Mutual Police Assistance Compact. Move to adopt recommendation of the committee to approve the South Central Mutual Police Assistance Compact dated February 16, 2024, and authorize Mayor Joseph DiMartino to execute said contract on behalf of the City of Derby. And that's in the form of a motion.
Motion made by Sarah. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Ron. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
7.3.3, Fairfield County Mutual Police Assistance Compact. Move to adopt recommendation of the committee to approve the Fairfield County Mutual Police Assistance Compact dated November 14, 2023, and authorize Mayor Joseph DiMartino to execute said contract on behalf of the City of Derby. And that's in the form of a motion.
Motion made by Sarah. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Rob. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 8, new business. 8.1, clean and lean action, 204 Derby Avenue. Move to direct the Department of Public Works to clean 204 Derby Avenue and to authorize the mayor of the City of Derby to place a lien on the property pursuant to the City of Derby clean and lean ordinance. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Made by Sarah. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Ron. Any discussion?
Property's been a disgrace for years. People got to live with that. When properties are dirty like that, it doesn't help the area. It produces crime and many other things to happen. I'm so glad we're doing this.
Yes, this is the neighborhood needs it.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 9, old business, 9.1, resolution regarding allocating unallocated ARPA funds to the general fund balance, resolution 2024-4. Move to adopt resolution 2024-4 regarding the allocating of unallocated ARPA funds to the general fund balance of the City of Derby. Do I have a motion? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
George, is there a second?
Second.
Second, Sarah. Any discussion?
As we have on the books, that any ARPA money that will be spent, even though this is going into the budget, shall come to the Board of Alderman first.
That is part of the amended motion that is in your packet that was the supplemental from tonight is the correct motion. It's the correct. Yeah, thank you. And just for the record, if there's no objection, we'll take all those motions that we waive the reading of those and we'll incorporate the full text of the resolution into the release of the reading. There's no objection.
I just would also like to say that it is unfortunate that we have to do this with the ARPA monies. It's, you know, a once in a lifetime opportunity, these ARPA funds, and the mismanagement that happened previously forced us to have to take this action, and it's the right action, but it is unfortunate that it had to happen this way.
Brian is here. Anybody have any questions for Brian?
I just have a quick question, not just for clarity. There's no deadline. We have December 2024. We put on a long enough deadline. I'd also just like to echo what Taylor said. You know, we're in an unfortunate situation that we have to do this. I mean, these funds, you know, could be allocated elsewhere, but, you know, much needed allocation elsewhere. However, we need to make this move to save our taxpayers from, you know, previous mismanagement. So, you know, unfortunately, we have to do this, but fortunately, we have this opportunity to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd just like to point out too that Brian put a lot of work into this, a lot of hard work, a lot of hours into this, and he did a great job with it. So really good, Brian. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 10, executive session on 10.1, 2 Factory Street, 10.2, 1725 Crescent Street. 10.3, discussion of attorney-client privilege communication pursuant to section 1-206E and section 1-210.10 of the Connecticut General Statutes, and 10.4, Frank Placha, labor and employment matters. Do I have a motion to go into executive session and invite Attorney Baturla, Attorney Testa, and Linda Pusco.
And we need Brian.
We need Brian. We need
Brian Hall,
yeah,
on the 2 Factory Street matter. And if I may, the basis for the executive sessions under 1-200 with respect to 2 Factory Street, it's the discussion of the selection of a site, purchase of real estate, when the publicity regarding such purchase would adversely impact the price of such purchase. And that's the basis, that's the statutory basis to go in. With respect to 17-25 Crescent, we have pending litigation, which is noted, and the other is attorney-client privilege. And with Mr. Palaccia, that is also a pending claim.
A motion to go into executive session?
So
made by Rob, is there a second?
Second.
Second, Robin. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I'm sorry.
7:54.
7:54. Okay, so for the folks that are on Zoom, I'm going to actually none of the members are there, so I'm gonna just mute everybody, mute this, so it'll be and then when we come back out, we'll unmute it, and we're gonna pause the recording at this point. It's 9:05 p.m. and the board is coming out of executive session.
The kitchen's up, Colin. One of the girls in this office.
They're
meeting. Are they still there?
Yeah, they're meeting.
Okay, do I have a motion to come out of executive session at 9:05?
Mm-hmm.
Made by Ron. Is there a second? Second, Robin. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 11, regular session action from executive session. 11.1, Frank Palaci, possible settlement agreement.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to approve the settlement as recommended by Corporation Counsel.
Motion by Sarah. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by George. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 12, Ron.
Motion to adjourn at 9:06.
Second?
Second.
Second. Amy, all in favor?
Aye.
Great job, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.